as of Monday, the SEC got a bit more crowded. Two teams officially joining the Southeastern Conference, Texas and Oklahoma, a three-year-long process. It was supposed to be until 2025, but got in here a little bit earlier. Initial thoughts on those two powerhouses from the Big 12 coming over to the SEC?
Let the games begin. Yes. They are bringing a lot of competition and a lot of sports. It's going to be tougher now for the current makeup of the SEC for those teams to win conference championships, because Texas is outstanding in a lot of sports. Oklahoma's outstanding in a lot of sports. They bring terrific brand names. They bring terrific athletic programs to the SEC. I think it's going to be very exciting to see what happens with this league. I'm excited to see what rivalries develop. I think a few of them already know that will develop, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And Pages is probably, as far as Harvey Schiller's concerned, former commissioner of the SEC, this is like 35 years in the making. Because I remember back in 1989, he wanted to add Texas and Texas A&M. He then wanted to add Miami and Florida State.
Yes, yeah.
So you've got the two Texas teams on board now, and there's a pretty heated rivalry between those two.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see, and I'm glad they're renewing that rivalry. There was no sense in Texas and Texas A&M discontinuing playing in football.
Right.
A lot of great games through the year. So I think it's an exciting time for the SEC.
Yeah, because the conference had a little bit of a taste of what a Texas school could do with Texas A&M joining in 2012. So it'll be interesting now to have both Texas and A&M both in the same conference, mentioning maybe some of those rivalries coming back. We know one's a good one, the Red River rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma. Does it now have more meaning now that it's in the SEC, or does it give the SEC as a whole a bit more like oomph to the conference?
I think it gives the SEC more oomph. I don't know if that rivalry, the Red River rivalry, could get any more intense than it already is. But I do think being in the SEC is going to bring a lot of meaning, because that could end up deciding whether or not one of those teams goes to the SEC championship game.
But does that make other programs want to maybe increase their brand of rivalry, because you do have such a name stake in Texas and Oklahoma with their rivalry coming to the SEC?
I think what you're going to see is current SEC teams developing rivalries with the teams coming in. Because I don't know, even though Alabama has been beating Auburn lately, Alabama had to complete a 4th-and-31 pass to beat Auburn last year, even though Auburn wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So the Iron Bowl is still a very hotly contested game, even though Alabama's gotten the better of Auburn. So I think what you're going to see is Tennessee have more rivalries with Texas in a couple of sports.
Sure.
I think that you'll see, of course, Oklahoma and Texas coming into the league. That's a great rivalry on its own. A&M renewing its rivalry with Texas, I think that's really good. I think that you might see potentially LSU, because of proximity, developing a rivalry with Texas.
That's true.
Now, they've already
got
one.
Their brands are both very loud.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And so, and then you've got A&M. They've already got a pretty good rivalry going with A&M. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to see it, I think, extend to Texas. So I think you'll see more rivalries with Texas and Oklahoma developing among the current SEC membership, or I shouldn't say current.
Yes.
The former 14.
Yes.
That was in the SEC.
Obviously, it was a unanimous vote to have Texas and Oklahoma join the league. They had celebrations earlier this week to make it official that they are members of the SEC. And I think the reaction, at least from people on social media, was, oh, okay, well, you're here now, and it was great that you're here, but now you're a competitor, because people were not entirely thrilled with the festivals and the bounce houses and the statewide events and Pitbull and Usher putting on all of these events and the fireworks. What's your reaction to learning that Texas and Oklahoma had insanely intense celebrations to be a part of this conference? Like, is that conference pride how it is across the other member schools, or was this a little weird that they had such a party to be here?
I think it was a little weird. I don't remember Texas A&M or Missouri doing that.
Right.
I don't remember Arkansas and South Carolina doing that. I think it's a bit odd to have such a celebration like that. And to me, it's almost like sticking it to the Big 12.
Yes.
Okay. You're glad to be in the SEC, but it's like, we're glad to be away from the Big 12.
Yeah.
Now we're going on to bigger things. It is interesting, though, Texas has ruled the roost in the Big 12. They had the Longhorn Network, mm-hmm. which they can't really have in the way it's been done so far.
Now, yeah.
And so I think that, and they're an equal partner, equal share, Texas and Vanderbilt. You're equal.
Yes.
I don't care what you say, Texas. You're getting the same amount of money from the revenue sharing.
Yeah.
Whereas they tried to bully other teams in the Big 12 a little bit. But I am surprised that there was such a ravish celebration
right.
with those two schools coming into the league. We'll see how much they're celebrating by the end of September when they have a couple of SEC games under their belt.
Speaking of September, you know, Tennessee and Oklahoma, they both opened their conference play against one another. Obviously, Josh Heupel playing at Oklahoma, being a Heisman finalist. Is there a rivalry brewing there?
I think if they will play on a continuous basis, the answer is yes.
Okay.
If they play every 4 years or so, I don't know. Certainly Josh Heupel, you mentioned him. He helped him win a national championship.
Yes.
Runner-up in the Heisman Trophy. However, he was fired as their offensive coordinator. And I remember asking him recently, when's the last time you've been to Norman? He said, well, it's been at least a decade. That tells me that not a warm and fuzzy deal about Oklahoma and Norman.
Yeah.
So I think he would have that game certainly circled on his calendar. I think that is going to be a good rivalry game. I enjoyed the series that they played recently with Tennessee and Oklahoma, and Baker Mayfield had to come up with this miraculous fourth quarter to bail Oklahoma out, and then Oklahoma beat Tennessee in overtime in Neyland Stadium. It's a great football game.
Yeah.
So I think you'll see some of that. I hope they play on a somewhat regular basis, and if they do, I think that will develop into a good rivalry.
I think if we dive a little bit into their schedules as well, because obviously the SEC getting rid of the East and West divisions, so now it's almost harder to make it to your conference championship than it is to make it to the playoffs. I think of the three, if we just look at it through the Tennessee lens and also Texas and Oklahoma, Oklahoma has probably the toughest SEC schedule, obviously opening with Tennessee, then at Auburn, Texas, neutral site, at home against South Carolina, at Ole Miss, at Missouri, home against Alabama, and at LSU. That is a tough way to end your conference schedule.
Yeah, it is tough. And I know, and I'm in favor of a 9-game conference schedule,
yeah.
But I'm sure Oklahoma's looking at that 8-game schedule and saying, this is tough enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some really strong opponents, and then you have to look at times to see whether you're hosting or going on the road.
Yeah.
Some teams in the SEC that you think are kind of okay, like Missouri. Well, 2 years ago when Georgia was trying to win a national championship, they went to Missouri and almost got upset.
Well, you got to look at that October 19th game. They're hosting South Carolina. Imagine being the Gamecocks going from one coast to the middle of the country to go play Oklahoma.
Yeah, so that's advantage Oklahoma on that one.
Yes, yeah.
But some of those, that is a hard road for them to host. So I'll be curious to see how they handle that. Mm-hmm. Look, 2 years ago, they weren't very good. Last year, they went 10-3, second year for Brent Venables. He's breaking in a new quarterback. He's a very talented quarterback, but it's a new quarterback. And so it may take a little adjustment. He didn't play that well during parts of their bowl game, in particular early in their bowl game. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But they're going to get a taste of it. There were a lot of games in the Big 12, I thought, that you didn't have to play that well to win.
Right.
Now you do.
Not in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. Now you do. There are a couple of bad teams in the league, and Vanderbilt's one of them.
Yep, 0-8 last year.
Yeah, so that should be a given for most anybody. But a lot of times if you go to, like, Mississippi State, that's not always easy to play in Starkville. And some of these other venues where you would think, oh, that's not a great team, there may be a 500 team.
Yeah.
But in their home stadium, they could be a lot better. So that's one of the things that I think Oklahoma and Texas will find out, is that there are not as many games where you can just show up and go through the motions and win in the SEC.
I think Texas coming into this year is going to have a lot of momentum. They obviously won their conference last year. They made it to the playoffs last year as well. And they don't have an unreasonably tough schedule. They started against State. That's at home, neutral site with Oklahoma, at home against UGA, on the road against Vanderbilt, at home against Florida, at Arkansas, at home against Kentucky, and then they end it with A&M. And we talked about that rivalry a little bit ago. Those are pretty manageable games, especially when you look at Mississippi State, who I think was 1-7 last year. Vanderbilt, 0-8. Florida, they're going to be probably dead as a pulp by the time they get to them with how tough their schedule is. Arkansas, so-so, and then UK, I guess that's a given.
A much, much easier schedule for Texas.
Yeah.
Texas also has a really good coach, Steve Sarkisian, and year three got him to the college football playoff. He's got a really good quarterback. Quinn Ewers is considered by many one of the top NFL prospects in college right now. So, and they've got talent. They've got a lot of good players over there. They've done a good job recruiting, which they should.
Yeah.
Because the state of Texas is loaded.
I think their recruiting or their transfer portal class was top 10 this year. So
they should be really good again. I think they should be a college football playoff team. a much easier schedule for Texas and Oklahoma. Now, and that's going to be the way it is for the next 2 years, because you're going to play the same teams in back-to-back years. You just go
home and home. Yeah.
Yes, right. So I think Texas got a break on their schedule, no doubt about it. And we'll see how they fare. But I would not be surprised to see them face an SEC team that is not considered a really strong team, may upset them, because you got to be on your game pretty much every week. Not every week, but pretty much every week in the SEC.
Where do you think this leaves Tennessee in the conversation of the SEC standings? If you get rid of the standings last year, you don't have your divisions, East and West. They're sixth overall, pretty much kind of in the middle of the pack. They ended 4-4. Now with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, where does that put Tennessee in the conversation and as far as trying to get a bid into the 12-team playoff?
Makes it a lot harder, because Texas program, their team right now is a little bit better than Tennessee. Not significantly, but they're a little bit better. They made the playoff last year. Oklahoma at 10-3 was, I think Oklahoma and Tennessee were kind of on par last year.
Yeah.
Now, with Tennessee, if Nico Iamaleava is as good as advertised, then they can move up a little bit in the SEC and be better than six, even with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. But if he struggles a little bit, Tennessee could be right in the middle of the pack, six or seven, roughly, in the SEC. It's not going to be easy for Tennessee. I've got them going 9-3.
Okay.
But a key game will be at Oklahoma. If Tennessee can get past Oklahoma, they should be undefeated for almost the first month of the season. That'll give them some momentum going forward.
Yeah.
And I do think Tennessee is a borderline college football playoff team.
Yeah.
But I think to get there, they probably have to beat Oklahoma.
Who are your three losses for Tennessee?
It would be Alabama, it would be Georgia, and somebody else.
I mean, it's a given. You know, you didn't think it was going to be Missouri last year, but that's what makes the SEC so tough, that regardless of the kickoff time, regardless of who and where you're playing, any SEC team can win on a given Saturday.
Tennessee's laid a couple of eggs on the road in recent years under Josh Heupel. The South Carolina game from a couple of years ago, Missouri game last year. Now, they beat the heck out of Missouri
the previous couple of years ago.
Right.
With Hendon and Hooker,
and they went to Baton Rouge and beat the heck out of LSU, which won the West Division. So you can't just make a blanket statement they're not even good on the road.
Right.
But they have laid an egg on the road in a couple of games. So at home, I think they'll be fine. But going on the road, I think they may slip up against somebody, and so I've got them 9-3.
You mentioned Texas kind of having a bit of a break these first 2 years with their schedules and having to do a home and home, but eventually you're going to have to rotate to another 8-team SEC schedule that will eventually give us Texas and Tennessee, which right off the bat has its own rivalry, even before they joined the same conference of who is the original and correct UT. How much is that going to feed into this, what we perceive to be an eventual rivalry?
A tremendous amount. Both of them have great football history. Texas claims they have four national championships in the AP era. Tennessee has two, but each of them claimed more for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
So, but I think when they play each other, I mean, I remember back in the 80s, there was the fight over who gets the UT brand. Okay, and then they tried to separate it by the Mason-Dixon line or some silly thing like that. So, but I think they'll get after each other. And so even when Tennessee played Texas in baseball, or Texas A&M, they were talking about how, you know, there wouldn't be a Texas if it weren't for the Volunteers of Tennessee that saved Texas in their state. They could be a part of Mexico. You got some of that going on.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think that could be a great rivalry between Tennessee and Texas in football, and I'm certainly they'll play each other in baseball, hopefully.
Yes.
So I think with Jim Schnossnagel going from Texas A&M to Texas, Tony Vitello was on Schnossnagel's staff at TCU about a dozen years ago. So I think you're looking at what could be a tremendous baseball rivalry between Tennessee and Texas.
Well, especially when you just give their series and the College World Series finals, obviously, Tennessee being the fifth different school to win the College World Series in five straight years for the SEC, beating Coach Jim Schlossnagel from A&M. And I don't really know if there's a whole lot of love lost between those two when you watch those two teams compete, and obviously the way that coach ended up leaving the Aggies program. How exciting will it be now that Schlossnagel's at a storied Texas baseball program, and Tony Vitello is on the cusp of building his own here.
It ups the ante. Mm-hmm. It ups the ante. Texas has been, I think I heard this, to 38 College World Series. They've won, I don't know, maybe six national championships in baseball. They've got a great history in baseball. It's obviously better than Tennessee's. But now, to me, Tennessee's on par with Texas in baseball because of the work Tony Vitello's done. So I'm looking forward to those clashes. I think, I'm going to tell you, Lindsey Nelson's going to be packed when Texas comes in here.
How many more seats can they add?
Well, I think eventually they will get to 8,500, eventually. They're a little bit over 6,000 right now.
Yeah.
But I remember talking to Tony Vitello a couple of years ago about expansion. He said you don't want to just build something and go up to 10,000 right away. Mm-hmm. You want to incrementally increase it and make sure you're selling out.
Right.
And they
are.
And that's
what's happened.
Yes.
Each year
it's
gotten better, and now the stadiums and the porches and even the watch parties that they had during the College World Series, everything is sold out for Tennessee baseball.
And think about this, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think if Tennessee's baseball team, if they played in a 15,000-seat stadium this past year, I think they would have sold out a lot of those games.
Especially when you consider that they hosted the regionals, and even their three-game series against Evansville was so exciting in the super regionals. If 6,000 fans can be that loud, I can only imagine, you know, double that would want to come into Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
And think of the number of fans that were outside the stadium that couldn't get in with watch parties or whatever they were doing, because folks have just fallen in love with this baseball program and with Tony Vitello.
Or what Gay Street looked like when they came back from winning
the
title.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this city is hungry for another title already, I feel.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that Tennessee needs to expand to 15,000. I'm just saying,
or they could.
Just this past year, I think they could have sold it out numerous times. Now, but I think they're going to get to around 8,500 before it's all said and done. And if they continue to win at a high level, I think they won't have any trouble selling it out.
And while we're speaking about rivalries on the diamond, another one that we could see form is between the Lady Vols and the Oklahoma softball program, which just finished its four-peat for the Women's College World Series run. Tennessee had its chance in 2023, lost in the semifinals against Florida State. What kind of rivalry do we think Karen Weekly and that Oklahoma softball staff will forge over the next few years?
I think it's going to be a great rivalry. If you look at it in some recent years, and this is, I think it's been a one-way street, Tennessee has taken some Oklahoma players in the transfer portal.
They have,
And so,
i.e. Zeta Pooney.
Is that going to continue?
Yeah.
Nugent, the catcher.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's a chance they could come in right away and have a great run. Yeah, it could be. But I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Oklahoma, you mentioned the four-peat. I think since 2000, they've won 8 or 9 national championships. They are a fixture in the Women's College World Series. So I think that's going to be a great rivalry. I'm completely confident that Karen Weekly is going to continue to win at a high level. And so I think Tennessee, which won the SEC, I think they will be a chief rival for Oklahoma coming in. So I think you've got an automatic rivalry between Tennessee and Oklahoma.
So, obviously, like, the SEC was already a premier league for all of sports. Now you add two powerhouses in Texas and Oklahoma. How much does that impact, like, the quality of wins? Like, for them to win your own conference, I feel like it means just that much more now that those two are now in the conference.
It does. And when you start – so you're in the college football playoff, and I've heard some argue that if they don't go to 9 games, conference games, that the selection committee – should penalize them. I disagree with that. I think it has to be a case-by-case basis. If you're playing an 8-game conference schedule, and if you go out and schedule some quality non-conference opponents, then you shouldn't be penalized because the rest of the conference voted to stick to 8 instead of going to 9.
Right.
So I think that the College Football Selection Committee will look at strength of schedule. And I think, even though I'm a proponent of 9, I think with an 8-game schedule, your schedule still could be among the best in the country.
Yeah, because, I mean, you even look at Tennessee and the teams they'll play. I mean, Oklahoma, Bama, and UGA. Just if you just consider just those three. I don't know how many other conferences have three teams, really namely two, that are in the college football playoff year in and year out.
Yeah, and the SEC has been dominant in that regard. The Big Ten might have an argument now with Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon.
Yeah.
But Michigan's lost his coach, so we'll see what they're able to do without Jim Harbaugh there. But, yeah, the SEC, and they're so good in so many sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking at Texas's record. Texas has won 66 national championships, and they've won them in a variety of sports, whether it's track, whether it's baseball, softball, football. They have done it. I don't think they won in men's basketball. I'm trying to remember. They have in women's basketball.
Yeah.
But they're still really good in basketball, even though they haven't reached the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. So in their Oklahoma, we know is they've won 44 national championships at Oklahoma. There are only three programs in the SEC, regardless of how you want to count it, that have won more national championships than Oklahoma. I think Tennessee is at about, is it 25 or so with the baseball title?
Yeah, sure.
Give or take one. So, yeah, they bring a lot of success in a lot of different areas. And so that's going to make the league harder in just about every sport, because Texas is good in most every sport. They typically are in the top five in the national all-sports trophy race.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, not quite as good, but still a very good
–
right, and a very good athletic department. So, and by the way, their athletic director, Joe Castiglione, mm-hmm. there have been multiple times when I was involved with an AD search at Tennessee, his name cropped up.
Oh.
Never hired him. But, and there were times when, yeah, they, I think they tried to hire him, and then when they couldn't hire him, they asked him for advice on who to hire. But, yeah, he's now in the SEC, but Tennessee had a distinct interest in Castiglione more than once to try to get him to Knoxville.
So you've seen a couple of these Southeastern Conference expansions. This is now the third one. How does this one rank compared to the other two expansions? For me, I think this is probably the best expansion that they've had. You end up getting Texas and Oklahoma, who end up being in the top half of the conference right away.
By far. It moves the needle much more so than South Carolina and Arkansas did. It moves the needle more than Texas A&M and Missouri. There's still people that wonder why is Missouri in the SEC.
Still today,
so,
yes.
Yeah, but when you take brand names that have had as much success as Oklahoma and Texas, man, it brings a lot of attention to this league, and you'll see. Watch, I'm interested in the ratings.
Yeah,
I want to see what the ratings are. I'll also be curious. Will the ratings be higher when Texas and Oklahoma play in Dallas? I don't know.
Interesting.
I wonder if more people from the SEC will probably watch that game.
You'd have to, because now you're, because that's the whole reason why you want them a part of the SEC, because it does mean more, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be interesting to see that. But I think the overall ratings for the SEC, with some of these games like Tennessee at Oklahoma, that should have a huge audience. I think you're going to see some really good numbers in TV numbers for some of these SEC games, in particular games that we haven't seen much of in the past.
Well, yeah, and I think if you consider what Texas A&M and Tennessee did in the College World Series, 3.34 million people tuned in to watch that, which set some type of record. You have to imagine now that Texas and Oklahoma, when it's a football game that we're talking about, and that's what everyone in the SEC cares about is football, you have to imagine if SEC fans are now caring about baseball, they're also going to care about that game.
Yeah, what they say, all the eyes are on Texas. Well, all eyes are going to be on that Texas-Oklahoma game.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have – and I also think not only more SEC eyeballs will be watching that because of the impact it has on the conference, but that's a national game event.
Yeah.
Just like Michigan-Ohio State. But I think you're going to see the numbers explode TV-wise. And it also makes me wonder if – I know that ESPN and they've been reluctant to put in a lot more money for the SEC to carry their games.
Yeah.
I wonder if the ratings shoot through the roof, if there might be some renegotiation of that contract.
Yeah, and I think lastly, to wrap it up as well, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, what do you think that does for the conference and of a whole? Like, how much does that make the conference better? Obviously, there's nothing better than competition to help yourself improve. Does everyone significantly get better because those two are the new kids on the block?
Well, somebody's got to lose.
from last year, it was, yeah.
Yeah. So somebody's not going to be real happy about it. But there'll be some teams that want to win at a high level that will not win at the level they would want because of this competition, because of Texas and Oklahoma. I wonder about the Florida program.
Yes.
I don't think Florida's going to be. They weren't very good last year. And I look at their schedule.
Awful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that.
No. So I'm sitting there thinking they're going to have difficulty being above 500.
Yeah.
It'll be a struggle to get to 500, I think. So you'll have some programs out there that are used to winning that are going to have trouble getting over the hump. I think you're going to see more coaches fired in the league because of the expectations.
And they already do that, yeah.
Yeah, and the expectations aren't going to change. Just because Texas and Oklahoma came in, it's like, okay, well, we're satisfied with 7 wins. No, no, you're not. You're going to want 9 or 10.
You're on a hot seat before you even realize it now. Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot more of a revolving door with coaches in this league. But it makes the SEC already was the best sports conference in the country. Mm-hmm. And adding Texas and Oklahoma even separates them more. Now, I know with Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, you got some really good programs in the Big Ten. USC, UCLA added to that. But I don't think that they will succeed in the most important sports like the SEC will. And I'll be curious to see, what does this do for the SEC in basketball? How many more teams are they going to get in the NCAA tournament?
That Texas and Tennessee basketball game is going to be real nice.
Yes. Yeah. I look forward to that, too.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That'd be good.
A lot of new rivalries coming in. It's an exciting time for the SEC, an exciting time to see some matchups that we haven't seen before. And now, in a few years, is that going to wear off? It might. But for right now, to see some of these games that we've got, Tennessee at Oklahoma, I think a lot of folks will really enjoy this Texas and Oklahoma edition for the first few years in the SEC.
Yeah, and now we're just 2 months away from the college football season kicking off, and it'll be exciting at the end of September to see Tennessee and Oklahoma square off in Norman. So it'll be here before we know it, Jimmy.
It will be, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Thanks for joining us, Jimmy.
Thank you.